Amen. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful things that you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Father, for bringing all these lovely people into this local fellowship here. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you that David is completely healed. Pain's gone. And he's going to be able to be a great help moving all that stuff in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that everything that we pray is answered, because we believe that we have an open heaven with you, and we trust and we believe, Lord, that you'll back up what you promised to say and what we declare. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just praise you for the work that you're doing in us in this book, The Word, Women, and Authority. Lord, let the revelations come forth and let it be a good revelation to put us on the road to doing what your word says, Father. And we praise you, we glorify you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to confess the good promises out of our mouth for each thing that we need, Lord. And I thank you that we are walking that narrow road that you've got us on. And I praise you and I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for that good rain you're going to give us tonight too. Jesus' name, the one that we need here. And also Julia out there too. In Jesus' name. Cool it off for them, Lord. And we praise you, Lord, you're going to warm it up here. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests in Washington too? Yeah. Y'all getting hot up there, Maryland, Barry? Oh, man.
We're hitting mid-80s pretty much every day. You know, it's in the 80s. And so it's very warm and very, very dry for this time of year. No measurable rain for, I don't know, maybe a month or so. And then it was a tenth of an inch. That's, you know, not much for almost all summer. But we're believing for plenty of rain.
Okay. Amen. Oh, I don't know, Andrew. I haven't received anything from you that I know of. Have you got my email?
My email?
I haven't received them. I don't care. You sending them to my email address, Michael at UBM1.org?
He just sent you something there in a personal text message.
Yeah,
I've got your email.
Well, I'll resend it.
I'll check it out. I'll check to make sure that I've got you in my contact list.
All right.
Make sure. All right, anyone else? Yeah, I hadn't looked in spam, so I don't know. I don't look in spam unless somebody tells me to. Okay, anyone else? Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that all those places that need rain in the Northwest, that they're going to get a great rain here in the next day or so. And we thank you for it, Father. We command those clouds to form, and we command rain to come out of to the a slow, drizzling rain, Lord, that'll last for at least 2 to 3 inches or more. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that they are going to get it, and it's going to cool things down for them, and it's going to take the fire hazard out. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right, Missy.
Well, I wanted to add to that. We just command all this weather manipulation to stop in the name of Jesus. And we just cast it down. and forbid them to keep it from raining, to keep them from keeping it from raining. We command it to rain in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for doing that, Lord. All along the West Coast, including Judy, the whole way down, Julie, the whole way down the coast. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Nothing too hard for you, Lord.
No. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, we've got it shown off Shauna sitting there. Look. She just laughing. Oh, my. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Claire.
I just accept that prayer for this West Coast as well. Okay. I don't often go out of my little hole, but I had to go and buy some rolls today, and there were none because apparently there's very big rains everywhere. So they can't get things down to us. And I saw a few ladies in the shop looking pretty tense and twitchy because I did take the last pack of rolls. So, you know, early bird catches the worm. So, Lord, I just command this weather warfare to cease and desist for those who need food and fuel and to see their loved ones this weekend. Thank you for keeping everyone safe on the road. And thank you that the town can continue as normal. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, supernaturally replace some of them rolls on the counter for them ladies. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Oh, my. All right. Yeah, Missy.
Well, I don't have a grandbaby yet, but I'm still standing and believing that she's going to have that child natural. They have her scheduled for cesarean tomorrow. When tomorrow, I don't know. I haven't heard. But I'm believing that she, that when she, you know, at the very least, that when she goes walking in there, she's in labor. So I praise you, Lord, and thank you for that. And I just, Father, just ask you for a blessed time. I thank you, Lord, for everything going perfectly fine with the birth of this child naturally. And I thank you, Lord, that that Brooke is going to be able to nurse and have plenty of milk, and that Maverick's going to be able to latch on. And I thank you for a blessed time with them and a blessed time with the rest of my family that I get to see, my mom and dad and Matt and Megan and Ryder. And I just thank you and I bless you, Lord, for blessing my family and blessing me with a closer relationship with ones that's been kind of but it's getting better, Lord, and you're answering prayers, and I just praise you and I thank you for that, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you for this new grandbaby I'm going to get to see real soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just, like Judy said, we command that baby to come out right there in the name of Jesus. You come on out there, Maverick. Jesus' name. Get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Father. Are y'all coming back tomorrow, Phil, or are y'all going to wait till Monday? Or Sunday?
Either Saturday or Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for a smooth load up and a smooth trip home. In Jesus'
thank
name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And good gas mileage.
Amen. Good gas mileage. How'd that truck run?
Like a dream, except it was 5 miles to the gallon with that trailer.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we command that truck to do better than that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We command it to get at least 20 miles to the gallon. Angels, get out there and do your job. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Push it the whole way. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. How long right drive is that? How long does it take you to drive that?
10-11 hours. Yeah.
Well, 12 with 5 gas stops.
This is about 5 gas stops, about $500. $500 of gas.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Well, we prayed. It's done. That truck's going to get better than that coming home.
80?
I tell you, I prayed when I came home the last time. And, that I would get home quicker, and I got home 45 minutes earlier than I ever have from Arkansas with good gas mileage. Me and David prayed before I left that morning. 45 miles to the gallon, that's pretty neat. All right, anybody else? We'll pray that tomorrow night also. We'll have the whole bunch praying for that gas mileage coming on tomorrow night. Well, everybody here believes too, so it's done deal. All right, anyone else? Well, I guess we could get started here on this Word, Women, and Authority. I believe we are on page 6, the second paragraph, I believe. That sound about right to everybody? Okay. Some say that women can be elders in the church because the word mentions elder women. 1 Timothy 5:1. Rebuke not an elder, but exhort him as a father. The younger men as brothers, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters in all purity. Both the Greek word for elder, presbyteros, and the English word elder are used for both the physically older and the spiritually older. In this text, God is clearly speaking of the physically older because the opposite is mentioned too, the younger men and younger sisters. Since the spiritual elders were ordained in the early church as fivefold ministers, and a woman is not permitted to teach or take authority over the man or be an overseer, we know that this verse cannot be used in that way. Both Peter and John, who were apostles, called themselves elders in 1 Peter 5:1, 1 John 1:3, and then 3 John 1. Vine's expository dictionary of the New Testament words says of this verse, the feminine of the adjective is used of elder women in the churches, 1 Timothy 5:2, not in respect of position, but in seniority of age. Some will destroy every other verse on the subject by making this verse say that Janias was a woman apostle. Romans 16:7. Salute Andronicus and Janias, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also have been in Christ before me. The Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible says, whether the name here is masculine or feminine is uncertain. If it is saying Janias or Janiah, as is sometimes translated, is an apostle, then Janias must be a man by every other text on the subject. God's word does not contradict. If Janias is a woman, then the verse is not saying she is an apostle, but only noted by them. This is the only way that this verse fits with every other verse. Older women in the Lord are called to teach the younger women things concerning the home, children, and right relationships to the husband, but not doctrine. Titus 2 and 1 says, but speak thou the things which befit the sound doctrine, that aged women likewise be reverent in demeanor, not slanderers, nor enslaved to much wine, teachers of that which is good, that they may train the young women to love their husbands. Christ, our husband, tells us that the only way we can love him is to keep his commandments, and so it is with the woman and her husband. To love their children. 5, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the words of God be not blasphemed. In God's ideal society, the women should be workers at home, not competing with men as the breadwinners. Unless, of course, they are the only breadwinners. If the world would obey this, there would be many more jobs for men, far fewer homes that had no breadwinner at all. And this would distribute the wealth more and have less people on welfare. The woman has authority under the husband and over the household and the children. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. 1 Timothy 5 and 14. I desire, therefore, that the younger widows marry, bear children, rule the household, and give no occasion to the adversary for reviling. Okay, I'm going to stop there and see if anybody's got any questions or any comments. Nobody got any comments? All right. Let's see. Let's go down there and start with, let's see, Pat read, Ben read, and Joe read. Barry, you want to read the next one, please, sir?
Sure, I can do that. Let's see. When I was young, there was a woman who I thought taught very well in our denomination. When I read these verses, I was confused. I felt that the Lord told me that he would use for good anyone who put themselves in the position of authority. All vessels of honor or dishonor are God's, Romans 9. We prayed for a man in a mental institution to be saved. The next day, two mentally deranged people came up to him and were suddenly in their right mind. One man said, take this Bible and read it. The other one brought him about 20 scriptures to read and told him she didn't know why she was to give him this message. As soon as they did this, they went right back to being crazy by hugging a wall or cringing in the corner. That man was saved. He went to thank them for their kindness, but they didn't know what he was talking about. The man said he didn't even own a Bible. The lady said she had never spoken to him. There was no sign that they were even believers. That God uses people does not mean that they are in his will, nor does it mean that they will even be saved if they are in personal disobedience. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name and by thy name cast out demons? For by thy name do many mighty works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We can preach, teach, cast out demons and prophesy, but if we are not sent by God and just doing our own egotistical will, we are building our house on sand. Paul said that if he didn't keep his body in submission, he would be reprobated. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. That's Greek adokamos, which means reprobated. God's people need to help, and he will use whomever they submit to, but that does not mean these ministers are personally submitted to God. Matthew 7:26. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and smote upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Some say, wouldn't God speak to these women to warn them against exercising authority over men? He has many times. The rich man wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to warn his family, Luke 16:29. But Abraham saith, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. In other words, they have the word with all these commands, and they are responsible to obey them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, even if one rise from the dead, as Jesus did. Those who hear God's word and willfully rebel will have judgment. Their house will fall. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire, which shall devour the adversaries. Warn these women so that they repent while there is time. I am not saying all who are ignorant of these verses or their true application for our day will be lost, but they certainly may not be as great in the kingdom as they were thought to be on earth. Matthew 5:19. Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. I got something to say about that just a minute. I had an acquaintance of mine that was preaching the gospel, and he was healing the sick and delivering people, and I mean just doing a wonderful job, but he was in sin. And he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, this is, I don't know, understand why people are getting healed and I'm still in sin. And the Lord told him, spoke to him, and told him, he said, these people come to me in faith. I'm going to heal them. I'll deal with you later. Did you hear what he said? He said, I'll deal with you later. He said that put the fear of God all over him. And he repented of the things he was doing. He's got a great ministry right now. But that's what the Lord told him. That's what's happening. I remember years ago that the Lord had told a lady preacher, everybody knows who I'm talking about, and told her if she would give up all of her ministry and goods and all that stuff, that he would bless her socks off. She wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it. So that shows you they want the notoriety of man. They want man's patting on the back, so to speak, more than they want God. And that's a very telling thing. All right. Who's next? Monroe.
Okay.
Did you want to read, Marilyn? Wait a minute. Let me see. Marilyn, did you want to read? Okay. Go ahead, Monroe.
Okay. It appears that both Priscilla and Aquila were instructing Apollos concerning the way. Acts 18:26, and he, Apollos, began speaking boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more accurately. As I said, ignorance is an excuse. It only says they expounded unto him more accurately, not perfectly. Even the Apostle Paul was receiving words of knowledge and wisdom concerning correct doctrine during these days and after when he was writing his epistles. We have the benefit of this study, this to study and restudy, but most of his contemporaries did not. The scriptures teach that the responsibility of sin is not imputed until after one receives knowledge of the truth. James 4:17. To him, therefore, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Romans 4:15. For the law worketh wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression. 5:13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. 7:8. But sin, finding occasion, wrought in me through the commandment all manner of coveting. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. Jesus even said of the Pharisees, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. John 15:22. But we really shouldn't condemn, individuals for disobeying the commandment. I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness until we have explained from Scripture that the actions are wrong. However, this clear command of all the others cannot be overthrown by any testimony of what Priscilla did. The Scriptures testify of both good and evil things that people did, but the commands must be obeyed. Shall I carry on?
Yes, if you like.
Yeah. Some use this verse given through Paul to say that all these other verses restraining women do not apply. Galatians 3:28. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. But there can be no male and female, for you are all one man in Christ Jesus. This is clearly a oneness of unity and not essence. This is not saying that a man and woman are not distinct, but we are not divided. Sorry, that we are not divided and are all one in Christ. A man and his wife are one, but they are certainly not the same. Notice in the text that Jews are not Greeks and bond are not free. This text clearly does not mean that women need not obey the man any more than it means that the children need obey the woman. Ephesians 6:1. Or bond servants, their free masters. Shall I carry on?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, Colossians 3:22. Paul, by the Lord, wrote these other verses too. Do you think the Lord and or Paul was schizophrenic? The Lord, through Paul, made it plain that even though they are one, there is a difference between a man and a woman. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Those who would destroy this distinction would destroy society and bring us under the curse. 9. For neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Notice the word man is used here, not husband, meaning that this submission carries over to the workplace, church government, and secular government. Also, the woman is still for the man today, so this is still in effect. One scripture cannot delete many more scriptures. This is the habit of those who pick and choose verses so that they can live after the flesh. Notice that men and women are one in Christ. That does not mean we are one in the flesh, for the flesh is not in Christ. Rather, the scripture says, the mind of the flesh is the enemy of God in Romans 8:7. In order for us to be one in Christ, we must obey the commandments put upon our bodies, whether man or woman. If we do not submit to these commandments, we do not abide in Christ. In 1 John 3:6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. If we do not obey the commandments, we are taking up our cross of death to suffer flesh. If we do not obey, we will not lose our old life so that the spirit man who is in Christ can be victorious to bear fruit in our life. If we walk after the flesh, we must die. Romans 8:12. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live.
Amen. Yeah. Didn't say nothing about transgender either, did he?
Yeah.
Nothing in there. All right. Yeah, Patrick.
Yeah, I was just, when you read that verse, I'm trying to click back over there. They was making the point that men and women, or husbands and wives, are one in Christ. And I think what I was thinking is that I know that there's a tendency to think of the husband being the ruler and the woman being the one in obedience, or one that has to obey, or whatever. And there's kind of a there's an automatic you know, the flesh automatically rejects that concept. But the point that I think that God's making through the thing is that we are one in Christ, and that the process which takes place of submission to authority, obviously the man has to submit to authority as well. And that process of the submission to authority is the process which cultivates and allows the development of the life of Christ within us. And so it happens the same in the husband. The end result is the same in the husband and the wife, as far as the purpose of creating Christ within us. And so where one finds themselves on that totem pole of authority is quite irrelevant to in reference to the end result, because the end result is the same in the woman and in the man. In our submission to authority, we allow for the cooperation with the Holy Spirit to nurture and build and create that life of Christ within us. So the goal is the same. So I don't know. Maybe it's the idea of putting our mind, instead of on the structure of you know, who's in charge in the family, so to speak, is putting our mind upon the end goal of Christ being formed in us. So I don't know. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Amen. I don't know if I'm old enough to remember when most of the women stayed home and worked and brought up the kids in the household. And it was very rare that you saw wives working. Very rare when I was a child. But then during the 60s and 70s, they started going to work for whatever reason. And that age of feminism came out. Women wanted to be equal to men, got in a lot of trouble. But anyway, Claire, you want to read next?
The kids are jamming, so I just needed to get them quiet. Can you remind me where we are now? Romans 8 verse 12. Can you hear me?
Claire?
Yeah, I can hear you.
We're on the top of page 12. Let's see. The paragraph says, I am only asking you to believe the word.
Yeah.
The first word.
Yes. That's exactly right. Okay. I'm only asking you to believe the word so you don't get deceived by this perverted society. Not one elder in our new covenant was a woman. None of the 12 or the 70 or those who followed after them were women. God just corrected me. He said, except Jezebel. That is one I have not thought of. Jezebel illegally exercised authority in the church. Revelation 2 verse 20. But I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication, to receive the seed or word of the world in this matter is fornication for a Christian. And to eat things sacrificed to idols, spiritually, it is idolatry to obey a harlot religious system rather than the word on this matter. And I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their works. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. Do you think it is an accident that this rebellious woman elder was threatened along with those who submitted to her with great tribulation? Ahab was destroyed because he followed his wife Jezebel. She was the leader who represented the harlot who was destroyed by the beast. 1 Kings 21 verse 23. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the rampart of Jezreel. 24. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the birds of the heavens eat. 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, who did sell himself to do that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. In a perfect parallel to this, the beast, dog, in Revelation 17, verse 16, devours the corporate harlot, and the birds, from Revelation 19, verse 17, devoured the corporate beast that she rode, 17 verse 3. And then Revelation 18 verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come forth, my people, out of her, that ye have no fellowship with her sins, and that she receive not of her plagues. Notice that both Jezebels were women who illegally took authority over men. David says, I woke up about 2 o'clock one morning and began talking to the Lord about some things. One of them was the scriptural foundation for what we call women's ministries. I had noticed some women getting more self-willed and rebellious against their husbands after associating with the women's ministry. He told me that there were a lot of independent and or divorced women in these ministries, and if the commands to women are not taught to them, they would leaven the whole body. He said that if the elder woman did not teach these commands, all would be in rebellion. Peter said that if any man speaks, he should speak as an oracle of God in 1 Peter 4 verse 11, meaning we should teach what God teaches in his word. He said that if they were teaching other doctrines than those covered by those commands, they were out of order. These other doctrines were to be taught by his elders or the husbands at home. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33. This is probably because the woman was beguiled, as 1 Timothy 2 verse 14 says. Then he told me to take my concordance and to survey the direct commands given to women in the New Testament. I did a quick survey and was shocked. Under the word wife, there were 6 commands, all of them concerning submission to the man. Under the word wives, there were 6 commands. 5 were clearly concerning submission to the man, and 1 was commanding her to be faithful in all things, chapter 3, verse 11, which has to include submission. Under the word woman, there were 12 commands, all of them concerning submission to the man. 1 more command was given to Timothy to tell the woman to take care of the widows. Under the word woman, there are 7 commands, 6 concerning submission to the man, and 1 was concerning modesty, so that she would not tempt the man. I was surprised at these results and went back to the Lord in prayer. I said, Lord, All of these commands are concerning the woman's submission to the man or not tempting the man by dressing modestly. He said, the reason that I gave the woman no other commands than these is because all other commands were to be given through the man. Even these scriptural commands were given through men. The woman is under the man's authority. He is her head. I will not go around him. I have not done so, even in the scriptures. God showed me that he was being careful to not undermine the authority of men. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, it says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man. Single women, scripturally, are under the authority of their father when younger, 1 Corinthians 7, verses 34 to 38, or the elders if they are widowed or probably divorced, 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 to 16. However, it is only proper that elders counsel single women in other company, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. Widowed or divorced women are responsible for their own words and actions, but the married and younger women have a covering, as Moses taught. In Numbers 30, from 3 to 9, it says this. Also, when a woman voweth a vow unto the Lord, and bindeth herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father heareth her vow, and her bond wherewith she has bound her soul, and her father holdeth his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, none of her vows, or of her bonds wherewith she has bound her soul, shall stand. And the Lord will forgive her because her father disallowed her. And if she be married to her husband while her vows are upon her, or the rash utterance of her lips wherewith she has bound her soul, and her husband heareth it, and hold his peace at her the day that he hears it, then her vows shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she has bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallow her in the day that he heareth it, then he shall make void her vow which is upon her, and the rash utterance of her lips, wherewith she has bound her soul, and the Lord will forgive her. But the vow of a widow, or of her that is divorced, even everything wherewith she has bound her soul, shall stand against her. We were taught by the word not to make vows or promises. But I have disallowed my wife or daughters when they have made rash statements that were against the promises or that would bring a curse if they were not disallowed. I have fellowshipped with many churches and many sisters in ministry who do not have this conviction. I do not feel under the law to correct them. I try to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's God's business to correct his people. It's my job to obey him. I have done so. I will not judge you, but the word of God will. In John 12, verse 48, it says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. Please be sure you are on the right side on this subject.
Amen. I need to ask where we are. The PDF I had ran out. It was no more. Print going on. It just ran out. I don't know what that was. But anyway, I'm on another PDF and I need to know what page.
Halfway down page 11 of this specific one. It's 11 of 26 pages.
What is a servant?
It's called Woman's Word and Authority, and it's halfway down. Okay.
What's the subtitle?
Okay. I just got done reading in Numbers chapter 30, and the rest of the page 11 where she's at, it's Jezebel will die by the curse, and it's a dream of Reuel Stewart is the next section that she's going to hit here, if that helps you.
No, if I had a subtitle. What's the nearest subtitle? I'm sorry.
They don't have subtitles on this sheet that you sent us.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I could send this PDF over to you if you want it.
Well, I've got the PDF.
I can send it back to you.
The PDF I have is only 26 pages, so I don't even know if this is all of chapter one or not.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because this is 11 of 209.
And that's the whole book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I apologize for that because I don't.
You're in a PDF?
I am in PDF. I got the one off the site. I got the one off the site.
On your keyboard, if you hit the control key and the F for find, it should open up a little text box for you where you can search.
Search for what?
Well, search what she just read here, numbers, NUM 30:3.
Numbers what?
30:3.
Okay.
And just before that, it says widowed or divorced women are responsible for their own words and actions, but the married and younger women have a covering, as Moses taught.
He didn't show up in the book. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. Nope. Okay, let me just go on to the next one. You have a question, Julie?
Comment. I got to find it here where Claire was reading about where David said the women's ministries thing here.
Where is that? That is so odd.
Oh, okay, where it says, I woke up about 2 o'clock one morning and started talking to the Lord about his questions and the scriptural foundation for what we call women's ministries and how some of the women were getting more self-willed and rebellious against their husbands after associating with women's ministries. What came to my mind was Esther, the first chapter, and how Vashti refused to come to the king when he called her, and how that they were like, well, we can't have this, you know, so they had to remove her and stuff, because when word got around that she wouldn't come when the king called, that all the women would behave that way. And I was just thinking, it's kind of like, you know, that spirit that's in the women's ministries, teaching what they do and that kind of thing, and just enforcing, you know, women to be self-willed. I remember this one particular incident or this story. It was made into a joke, but it's like I look back at that and I was like, how wrong, but just how they try to laugh it off. But this one particular woman, you know, I think somebody gave them, you know, like a throw pillow for their couch or something like that, and it said on there, you know, the king's house or something like that, or I can't remember how it was. But then the woman's like, well, what about my house? She had to have a throw pillow too. It's like, no, this is the queen's house. You know, it's just kind of like that whole competition thing, and not, you know, she's queen. Anyhow, this is something I was just thinking about, how that's how it was with Vashti, you know, about the whole leadership, that she was the queen, and, you know, if they had allowed that to happen, just the way they were thinking, it's like all the women are going to behave that way. Just kind of how that's how the women's ministries are kind of set up in a lot of ways. You know, it's just my thoughts.
Amen. Anybody else got any questions or any answers or any comments? Yeah, Benita.
I guess I just wanted clarification on that Numbers 30 verse 3. When it says, also when a woman voweth a vow unto the Lord, what kind of vow is she vowing? What is that talking about? What is she promising, or is it just general, like any kind of vow, like I promise to take the garbage out every Saturday or something? You know, that's ridiculous, but what kind of vow is he talking about there?
Anybody want to guess that or give an answer to
that? I have a thought on that one, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Fia.
So if the daughter is under her father's authority and she makes some kind of promise out of a uneducated or unexperienced, you know, mindset, her father could step in and break that vow and not have her in bondage to it, because she's under his authority and she did not know what she was doing. So her father can pull her out and save her before, you know, if she was alone and she had made a vow, she'd be held to it. She's not under his authority, but as her father is, you know, her head at the time, that vow,
okay,
and that vow doesn't stand.
Maybe I'm getting confused because we don't really do vows anymore. We do contracts. And maybe that's where it would be, like in our day, it would be if the daughter went into a contract with somebody.
Well, David has explained that in the past by saying that if a woman says something against what the Word of God says, he can cast it down as null and void. That's the way it's been explained. Let's say, for instance, a wife says, oh, what are we going to do? The child is sick and we need to take it to the doctor. He said, I cast that down in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is our healer and we're going to rely on him to do it. That's one way. That's what David says that this could be used for. Same thing with a daughter. The dad can do the same thing. Go ahead, Andrew.
I just want to ask a question that, let's say there's a husband and he doesn't like what the wife is wearing. Can he say, I don't like what you're wearing, I want you to go change?
I can't understand you, Andrew.
Now, let's say there's a husband who doesn't like what his wife is wearing.
Yeah.
Go and say, I don't like what you're wearing, I want you to go into your room and change your clothing right now.
What's the question? Can he do that?
To ask her and tell her to do that.
Well, I mean, are you asking if he's telling her to do that and she comes in?
Let's say he doesn't really like what she's wearing and says, I want you to go change, I want you to go wear that outfit instead. I don't think
that's a proper outfit. Let's see how long that lasts. No, I'm not saying. The only way a loving husband would say that, the only way that a loving husband would say that, is if the wife came out in a very revealing dress or a very revealing clothes.
Well, let's just say he was uncomfortable with it.
Well, like I said, go for it. See what happens. You can try it.
I can't do it. I'm just asking a question. Hypothetical question. That's all.
Yeah. I know, Andrew. Because
you know, when it says there that the women has to dress modestly,
yeah,
in the eye of the beholder, you know, there's a lot of different cultures out there. And, you know, like, I understand that Vashti was brought up, but the Asian people in that area at that time, you know, perhaps thought that if this gets out to all the women in Persia, then what's going to happen? The man can't rule over his house anymore. See what I'm saying?
So yeah, well, you're right. That's up to the discretion of the husband. The husband gets to tell the wife, But he tells her in a way that she understands that it's not, you know, correct to utilize that type of wardrobe in this country.
I also question.
I am tiptoeing around this thing, but go ahead.
I questioned it in a rough way, just to see if there was going to be any sort of reaction here. I'm not testing anyone. I'm just saying.
You know, women. Let's hear. Let's see what the women got to say. I think the husband has ultimate authority. That's what the word of God said, the ultimate authority. If it's not discretionary for them to wear a certain type of wardrobe, of course, the husband has the right to ask her to change into something that he likes and considers it appropriate for the occasion.
Because, you know, you have to admit, like, I'm not just talking, like, there's so many rules now about makeup and everything that everyone has, okay? Uh-huh. So, you can see the point of view of my question. It's a different time, yes, but I just made a statement, that's all.
Well, I know, I understand that, really. I'm not taking any exception to it. I'm just trying to tiptoe around here and trying to make peace. You know what I'm saying? But no, the husband has the ultimate authority. But he's not to rule in an authoritarian way. He is to rule in a loving way. And to do that, you sit down and you say, honey, I just love that dress, but I don't think the king would like it, you know. Or something like that. I don't know. Patrick, get me out of here, buddy.
I'm going to have to let Claire. She raised her hand.
All right, Claire, go ahead.
So this will probably be like a confession, and maybe it'll, I don't know, just diffuse a situation. But when we got married, I was wearing boob tubes. This was me loving the Lord. And I went on a honeymoon with bikinis. My husband loved it. We were very young, you know, and he was fine and I was fine. But even the bikini was kind of like, do you think this one's okay? You know, it wasn't like one of those Brazilian types. It was, you know, a little less. So as it became more of me, I needed more covering, and he was very happy for there to be more covering. But I've often asked Rian, do you think this is too short? Or do you, and it's come probably not from wanting to be modest particularly, but more like, I don't want to look bad. You know, I don't want to look tacky. And I've said to him, like, what do you reckon? Do you think this is okay? Or, you know, we've never been around particularly legalistic Christians. So it's kind of like however the Lord's led us. And I don't wear bikinis anymore, probably because I can't find one big enough. But it doesn't matter. Like, but even so,
we're recording this, Claire.
That's fine. Like, I'm happy to share because it's real. This is real life. We live in the 21st century. If I had to walk around with everything covered all the time in Australia, I'd never make any friends. I'd never be able to preach, or not preach, but I'd never be able to share the gospel. I'd never. So I do wear shorts. I don't wear micro shorts, but I wear shorts. And I sometimes have a sleeveless top on because it's hot, man, and I sweat. So as much as what we have to be chaste and modest, we also have to not conform to the society, but be like Paul says, you know, where like you shave your head if you're going into the temple or whatever, you know, get circumcised if you need to. Thank goodness I don't need to do that. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I still wear earrings. I put makeup on something, even when I'm just at home. I like the look, but it's not out of vanity. And the Lord knows I can leave it at the drop of a hat. And I've asked Rian many times. I said to him, honey, I don't actually call him honey. I call him Riri. I'm like, Riri, am I being vain? Like, do I need to stop this? Or do you think I really need to wear earrings? Or, you know, and he's like, these are small things. He's like, I don't think that's what the Lord cares about. He's like, but you know, some I used to have a really long earrings, like these chandelier type things. And I remember once he said to me, I don't know about those. And I was like, okay, I'll get rid of them. Do you know what I mean? So I think there's that nice sort of discourse between the two where I'm going to take him on his leading. I'm not going to go beyond. If he had to come home and it was like a clear face and the hair all taken back in a severe ponytail, he'd be like, where's my wife? You know, I mean, I've got to look a little bit alive for the guy as well. So there's that sort of, I don't know, maybe we're still very vain. Maybe we're still so far back on this track and somewhere someone's going to help us. But I read a little thing once that said it's in the heart, not the hemline. And I like to raise my kids that way. And I like to, you know, it's not the way I was raised. I was raised with if you've got it, flaunt it. So I'm glad I don't believe that anymore. And I don't do that. But I don't know. I'm sharing. I'm hoping it's helpful.
I'm going to listen to this one again. Go ahead, Missy. that was great, Claire. Thank you for clarifying that.
I'm glad I came back when I did. I had gotten a phone call I had to answer. And my question is, where are we at? I lost where we're at.
Because... You didn't hear Claire?
Came back.
Oh yeah, I heard all that with Claire. I'm glad I came back when I did. That's what I was saying. I don't know what I missed before that. But...
Well, Andrew asked a question about what if a wife comes out and she's wearing something that the husband doesn't like? Does he just declare her to go back in and get something else on? And it kind of left it with me, and I've kind of been trying to tiptoe around it. And Claire just straightened me out, and that's great. That's awesome. But the woman is under the authority of the man, submission to the man. And Claire explained it in a great comedic way. And that was awesome.
Thanks, Claire. You always make it interesting.
Yeah, she did. You know, to be honest, Andrew, that question never came up in the local assembly. We just got through with the word women in authority. And that question never came up. Praise God. So we'll have to mark that one down. Okay, Phil, y'all be blessed. Alana.
Precious.
All right. Go ahead.
Hang on.
I don't know. Hang on just a minute. We're answering questions right now. That's where we are. And then as far as where we stopped, I don't have a clue because I'm on another PDF and I'm lost. But anyway, we'll find out here correctly. Go ahead, Samuel. Or Tiana.
Can you hear us all right?
Yeah.
Tiana just has a bit of a testimony regarding that same thing like Claire was elaborating. It's nothing to be legalistic over, but.
Yeah, I just wanted to share, because I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so I didn't know like Christian morals and stuff. But after I started following the Lord, and I didn't know about the Bible at the time, I used to dress like the world, and then after I had the revelation that God is real, I just like completely threw out all the clothes I had and everything. And God even had people provide me modest clothes and I didn't even ask anyone, but I just completely changed how I started dressing because I didn't want anyone to look at me inappropriately and I didn't want to cause anyone to lust or anything. So I just started dressing modestly, like my conscience. And I didn't even know about scripture. I didn't know that the Bible said for women to be modest and stuff, but my conscience was just like to start dressing appropriately. And I even I used to dye my hair as well, and I just knew like not to do that anymore because God made my hair naturally the way it is, and to grow it out because it just felt like right in my conscience, whereas I had short hair at the time. And but I just wanted to share that about the dressing. Like I just felt like I just didn't want to cause anyone to stumble, especially how the world is, you know, you walk around and people like Perth and everything like that. And I don't want to cause anyone to lost or anything. So I just wanted to share that. Yeah.
Amen. All right, Patrick, did you have something you wanted to share also?
No, I bailed out.
Chicken. Okay. All right. Can anyone tell? Oh, Ann Ryder, go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to share as well. Just when I first came to the Lord or started to with deliverance, I had a lot of piercings. A lot of piercings. And I had to give them up for some stuff to leave. And there was a lot of Egyptian stuff from my heritage, and I could not give up the mascara. It was a battle that I had to fight. Do I want to be free? or do I want to turn up with dark eyes? You know, and that was just really, really hard. And when I did give it up and washed it off, I was delivered of so much of that Egyptian stuff, you know. And then I started to worry, is my husband going to find me attractive? Because, you know, no makeup, no nothing. I'm really modest now. And is my husband going to, and it really helped with my submission to the Lord, to trust him, you know, like, because I felt so plain, like for the first week walking around without, you know, my mascara, and I felt so plain, and I didn't realize how vain I was, and I didn't want anyone to see me, and I just about cried anytime I ran into people, because I just, yeah, but yeah, there's, I suppose, conviction there about what does make us beautiful. For me, that was, and even with earrings and things like that. So for me, it was a conscience thing, and yeah. So my two cents.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right, Elena or David.
Hi, everybody. Just kind of wanted to add on my little testimony. It's very similar to what Tiana and Retta shared, but just 2 weeks ago, the Lord gave me a correction dream about the way I dressed, and it was pretty much one of my brother-in-laws was lusting after me, and he told me it was because of the way I dressed in my dream. And in that dream, I remember I was just wearing really tight clothes, and I asked my husband about it in the dream, and he was like, I don't know what you're wearing. And when I woke up, I had just this, I don't know if it's a verse in the Bible, but it was like, don't cause your brother to stumble. That was in my head when I woke up. And so I shared it with my husband, and, you know, he agreed with me that, okay, let's change my wardrobe. You know, let's, cause I always would ask him, you know, like, do you think this is okay? Do you think this is okay? And he'd be like, yeah. And I'd go out like that. And then I have this dream. And so I just kind of took it as maybe my husband also didn't really know how I should be dressing. So it was something we prayed about together. And the first day after the dream, I got dressed that day and I spent the whole day in that outfit. And then by the end of the day, I was so convicted and uncomfortable. And I was just like, okay, no, this outfit's not pleasing the Lord. And so I was like, okay, Lord, guide me. And the next day I get dressed and I spend the whole day in an outfit. And again, by the end of the day, I'm so uncomfortable. I'm so, nope, this isn't pleasing the Lord either. And so it's just kind of been a process of the Lord just giving me different guidelines. Like, this should be covered. This shouldn't, you know, it should be looser here. And so praise the Lord. I'm so thankful because I want to be a good representation of his bride. And so, yeah, that's kind of how he corrected me and my dress.
Very good. Very good. I like what Geneva said. She said, just wear overalls. That'll do it. All right, Missy.
Well, I used to be really, really vain because for anybody that doesn't know, I used to be a licensed cosmetologist, you know, and you always have to have your hair nice and you always have to have your makeup on. And, you know, any place that I worked, yeah. And I even had one lady that I worked for, if you had open toe shoes, she expected your toenails to be polished, you know? And I was never one to fuss with my toenails. I don't like feet. And so I'm like, ugh. Anyway, so I would just put something on, you know, just a real light pink that wasn't real noticeable, but just to appease her, you know? Anyway, but it used to be that I couldn't go out of the house. It used to be that I had to wash my hair every day. I had to do it every day, of course. I couldn't go out of the house without makeup on. And oh my gosh, I feel, you know, if I think about that and sometimes how I go out of the house, you know, back then it would have been like, I'd have felt like an absolute slob, you know, or whatever. But anyway, and thankfully, Merle, he's not, I tease him sometimes. I call him Mr. Plain Jane, because he's no frills. And, but even the Lord's corrected me on some of my clothing. Like I used to wear jeans that were tighter down through the leg and the flare, the boot cut or whatever. And the Lord corrected me on that, like, a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. And so I wear something, you know, that's not so fitted. And even he's corrected me on blouses. I've never worn anything, you know, low or whatever. But anyway, so, but yeah, so now I don't wear, like no eye makeup or anything like that. I'll put blush on and stuff like that. But it used to be for me, you know, it got to be where it was like being in bondage. You know, I just like, it was like drudgery, you know, you go to bed at night to take off all your eye makeup and stuff. And I'm like, and it's freedom for me now not to even do that. Once in a blue moon, I'll wear mascara. But so, yeah, it's so much more freedom to not have to do all that stuff. And so, yeah, so just thought I'd give my little input there to
Amen.
Subject.
Amen. I heard one time that what mascara was made out of, and it's not good stuff, it don't sound like. I'm moving right along now.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Can I tell something really funny, quick, about mascara?
Okay.
Okay.
I heard it came from bats.
When Merle and I first got married, and the first time we were in the bathroom together getting ready for bed, this is when I still wore mascara and eyeliner. And so I was there using my mascara remover, and I was rubbing my eyes and rub, you know, and trying, you know, to get it off, and my eyes were all black. And I looked up, and he looks at me, and he's in the bathroom. He goes, "Oh, that's scary." And then he goes, he says, "Listen to this." He says, "Maybe that's why they call it mascara." Oh my gosh! I die laughing on the floor. Oh my gosh. He comes up with some really good ones. And what makes it so funny is, you know, sometimes he'll fumble with what he wants to say, but when his wit comes out, it's quicker than slick, and it just about blows you over, you know? So I just want to share that.
Okay. Amen. All right. Anyone else on what women should wear? Okay, we'll just go right on along. All right, somebody tell me where we are. We're still in part one, right?
Michael?
Yes.
I think Claire just got done reading. The paragraph on page 11, where it says, I have fellowship with many churches and many sisters in ministry who do not have this conviction. And then there's just a couple short paragraphs where it says, right before Jezebel will die by the curse. I think that's where Claire stopped. Claire, isn't that where you finished up about there? And then he starts to read a dream by Rule. In that section, next section.
Well, this is entirely different as far as the makeup of it. Can you read something to me that's starting the paragraph? That's what I need.
Jezebel will die by the curse. Rule Stewart, 90606.
Jezebel.
David Smith's in red. I dreamt I was at David's house and we were having Bible study about women teaching in the church.
What page is it? Do you have a page number?
Page 11 of the document, original PDF you sent us.
Yeah. That hit me. Okay. Well, go ahead. That ain't it. let's see here. I'm sorry, y'all. This is crazy.
You try that control find again and type in.
It's not working Jezebel in this or, particular. Oh, Jezebel.
Or Jezebel or Rule, R-E-U-E-L. Type in Rule and see what you get.
All right, the first place it says about Jezebel is page 35. We're missing. And,
right.
Have we talked about elders and apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and bishops had to be men?
Yes, I think so.
We have?
Can you try and type in Rule in your find box? And
type in what? R-U-L-E?
R-E-U-E-L.
R-E-U-E-L?
Yep.
No matches found. Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll just listen.
Michael, why don't you open up the PDF you sent us in the email?
Because the words quit. I don't have anything but blank pages behind it.
Sounds like witchcraft to me.
Yeah. Hang on. Did you just send me a PDF?
I'll send it. Oh, you sent it back over to her, Julie?
I sent it again.
Okay. Hang on, I'll get it. Samuel or Tiana, y'all want to go ahead and read? Whose turn is it? Who just got through? Claire just got through, didn't you? And read us up.
Sorry? Did I hear my name?
You want to read?
Oh, yes. yes, thanks. Jezebel will die by the curse. Rule Stewart, 9th of the 6th of the 6th. David's notes in red. I dreamed I was at David's house and we were having a Bible study about women teaching in the church. And the farther along we went, I noticed the people started to leave out the back door of his house. And by the time we got to the end of the study, there was hardly anyone left. It was just David and me and one or two other people who had stayed until the end. So we all said our goodbyes and went out the back door. As I stepped out, I started to walk around to the front lawn of his house, and then my phone rang, and I saw the one calling me was a young man who had recently fallen away. And at first I was thinking about not answering, but he kept on calling, so I answered the phone. He right away started to talk to me about the Bible study that we just had. He said that David was giving false teachings about the subject. He was trying to tell me that women can teach in the church. So I asked him if he had any verses to show me in the Bible that say women can teach in the church, and he was not able to show me even one. So I just started to show him verse after verse that said women are not supposed to be teachers. The more verses I showed him, the more angry he got with me, to the point that he just started to yell at me. I told him that all I was doing was reading him verses out of the Bible, and that is what I believe we are supposed to be following. I told him that he was not able to show me even one verse to prove what he was trying to say. At that point, he just hanged up the phone. I was kind of surprised at how he had gotten so mad at me for simply showing him verses. David says, Rio, who lives several states away from us, did know, as we did, that this young man had received some demons, but didn't know that he had just received the Jezebel spirit that makes people believe this doctrine contrary to all scriptures. We had received the same exact angry and reasonable reply from him to the scriptures, 1 Timothy chapter 2:12. But I permit not a woman to teach, not to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled hath fallen into transgression. Revelations 2:20, starting from 20. But I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication. Spiritual fornication is receiving the seed of the world, and not our husband, like a harlot. Jezebel was known in the Old and New Testaments for women teaching and domineering over men. And to eat things, and to eat things sacrificed to idols, partaking of doctrines of false religion. And I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of her works, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. The children of Jezebel today who do not repent will die in the great tribulation, which is the second half of the tribulation. Shall I continue? Michael?
Well, I have to unmute. Go ahead. Yeah, please.
Okay. As I was pondering everything that had just happened, I looked over to the left side of David's house where his carport would be. But there was no carport, just a window. David says, Real didn't know this, but I had seen a window of revelation there and no carport, in a vision about a greater anointing coming to me a few months before this dream. Real continues, his neighbor on that side of his house had a long picnic table, and there were about three or four older ladies and about six or seven younger ladies around the table, and they were all talking about something. David says, Real didn't know this, but these women were in the yard of a neighbor lady who has been known to be critical, angry, and very domineering to men. Real continues, so I started to walk over toward their house and leaned up against David's window. David says, this is a window of revelation into the spirit realm. Real continues, once they saw me, I had one of the older ladies tell the other girls that they should not talk to me about what they were talking about. It was then that I realized that it was an older lady whom we knew who had told them that. David says, Reuel didn't know that this lady had this Jezebel doctrine and had imparted it to the young man through the false revival spirits. It is one of the common spirits passed on in this movement and causes much divorce and false direction among them. Ryu continues, one of the other older ladies told her not to worry. Let's try to talk to him. We might be able to convince him. So they started to talk to me about women being able to teach in the church. I asked them if they had any verses to show me in the Bible that say women are allowed to teach in the church, and they were not able to give me even one verse. So I started to tell them, verse after verse, and after a while noticed that the younger ladies started to move closer and closer to me, and it seemed they were really listening to what I was saying. This just made the older ladies very mad at me. So they got up from the table and started to walk back and forth in their yard. I could see demons in their eyes. And one by one, the younger girls started to turn back toward the older women. And as they did, they got demons too. In just about 1 minute, they were all walking back and forth, chanting what seemed to be some kind of demonic chant. At that point, I figured there was nothing more I could say to them. I decided I would go back in the house and tell David what had just happened. I was in deep thought at this point, so I didn't notice that everyone had already gone to bed, so I accidentally walked into the wrong room. I opened the door and looked in, and I saw two of your sons who were in bed sleeping. It was then that I realized that it was late. I looked at my watch, and it was about 12:15 a.m. I tiptoed out of the house so as not to wake anyone. I then crossed the street on the right side of his house, the opposite side as the women on the left at the picnic. Sorry, the opposite side as the women on the left at the picnic table. And when I got to the corner, all of a sudden, I got lifted up in the air, and there was this big tree above me, and it seemed that I was caught in the branches. David says this represents crucifixion by the Jezebel church on the left, where Jesus puts the goats. Real continues, about the same time when I was in the tree, I looked over to the left of his house and I saw all the girls come running around the front of your house, and two of them came over to where I was caught up in the tree. They had video cameras and were mocking me, and they were trying to film me. I then looked over to the other women who had been running around his house, and they had shovels in their hands and were trying to dig up the foundation of the house. At first, I was a little worried, but I noticed that as they tried to dig, they were not able to even make a dent in the ground because their shovels could not even penetrate the dirt. David says, when our foundation is the word, it is like the rock that cannot be destroyed as the sands of men's beliefs. Real continues, I then began to descend from the tree, and the two ladies who were filming me ran away, and I walked over to the back entrance of the house. As I got to the door, there were a couple of the girls who hadn't noticed that I was approaching because they were facing the house. They were still trying to dig at the foundation, so I walked past them and through the door. They got startled and threw some kind of dust on me and ran away screaming. I then told David everything that had happened, right up to the part where the girls had thrown something on me when I walked back in the house, and he told me not to worry about it and that it couldn't hurt me. He started to walk to the back door, and so I went with him. I remember the shirt I was wearing smelled kind of funny, so I threw it away and put on a clean shirt. David says, we must cast off the unclean garment polluted by the Jezebel spirit if we want to walk in the kingdom of God. We're commanded to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, the word, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Real continues. We then walked away toward the right side of the house, opposite from the picnic table, and walked to the beach. After we arrived at the beach, we started to walk up a mountain that was at the end of the beach. As we made our way up the mountain, in brackets, or David says, the kingdom of God, I noticed there was this big yellow snake up ahead of us that had come up out of the water and was trying to cut us from our path. David says, the corporate wild white dragon or beast, the old serpent, which persecutes the church in Revelation 12 and 13. The second stage is the beast which came out of the waters in the second half of the tribulation, when the Jezebel children will die. Real continued, when we got closer to it, I began to see thousands more snakes all over. David says, members of the serpent's body who make war on the saints. Also, the serpent's bite in the wilderness represented the curses of this world on the unrepentant. Shall I continue? You're muted.
I knew that. if you want to continue, that's fine, or we could get someone else to read. Go ahead, Missy.
Okay. We just kept on going up the mountain until we got surrounded with snakes. At that point, I realized that they could not hurt us. They would say, because of being in the kingdom. And David just bent down and picked up the first snake we saw, and it was not able to hurt him. Then I bent down and picked up another one, and it looked like a viper type snake, only it was pure yellow. David said, they are afraid of us. The snake tried to bite me over and over, but its teeth could not puncture my skin. David said, the curse and deception represented by the snake bite is ineffectual on those who change their skirts, their shirts. I'm sorry, wrong type of clothing, who change their shirts. We then continued to walk up the mountain. And when we got up and when we got to the top of the hill, there was this big house with a big 2 or 3 story deck on the front of it. David said, the Tower of the Flock of Zion, which is the place of holiness, safety, and the presence of God. We got rid of the snakes and went up to the top of the deck, and we could see all the way down the mountain where there were thousands of snakes in the valley. David said, the valley of the shadow of death, which the righteous pass through with clean garments and fear no evil. People were screaming and running all over as the snakes attacked them. A lot of people were dying in the streets. I then said that maybe I could get a job getting rid of snakes because they could not bite me. David said, this is the job Rule has now. Rule makes the shepherd or friend of God. Rule means the shepherd or friend of God. David just smiled and at that point went back into the house. As I walked back into the house, I saw my older sister who asked me what was going on outside. I told her about the snakes and then I said that we didn't have to worry about them. That as long as we put our faith in the Lord, they couldn't hurt us. At that point, I woke up. Prior to the destruction, the spirit that strengthens all things feminine. Oh, this is a long one. This is good.
Yeah. Sammy, you want to go ahead and read?
Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah.
Prior to the destruction, the spirit that strengthens all things feminine. Through Stephen Crowder. A spirit that has arisen in your country, my son, a spirit that was put in place according to my will decades ago. It is growing in strength and influence, and no one shall be able to stop its progress, says the Lord. Those who attempt to do so shall proceed forth in vain. It will be as futile as attempting to stop the rain from falling in Noah's day. This is the great judgment upon your country, and no one will be able to stop it. I will cause it to run its course in your nation. And when things are in it their proper place, it is then I will cause the foretold catastrophic events to take place that will crush this modern day harlot known as the United States of America. The spirit of the strong woman riding atop the devil's beast has been going forth and conquering with great subtlety and deception for scores of years in your country. And the purpose in this is to bring forth my desired results as a judgment upon your nation, my great judgment that will lead to her fall, says the Lord. Therefore, make your ear attentive to my words that I shall speak to you here, and then go forth to warn those of my people who will listen so that they will understand that it is the hand of the Lord at work in this matter concerning your country. You must warn them not to intervene in this matter with their prayers, for in this they can only attempt to hinder my purposes. For these things shall come to pass, and they must come to pass, for it is the judgment that I have chosen for her, the United States of America, and set into motion years ago. I have shown other watchmen of mine the horrendous judgments that will come upon your nation, the stars falling from heaven and the mists and vapors that will fall upon her, leaving countless dead in their wake. What I'm showing you here is what will occur just prior to and leading up to these horrific events. For many have cried out to me, Lord, when will these things come to pass, and what will be the sign of their coming? Have I not said that I will do nothing unless first I reveal it to my servants, the prophets? There are many of my watchmen scattered about, warning people that danger looms upon the horizon. But sadly, the great majority of those call themselves my people only listen to them in order to placate their itching ears. To put it more simply, their hearts cannot truly comprehend what the Lord is saying to his people. So many have chosen beforehand that they will only hear what they want to hear and then discard the rest, lest it become bitter within them. My son, when I told the other servants of mine, those who would actually do all that I told them, to eat of the book or to eat of the scroll, was it not sweet in their mouth, yet it made their stomachs bitter? And yet these blessed ones of mine partook of this bitter meal out of their obedience and out of their love and devotion to me. It is this type of compliance that is pleasing to your Lord. And yet the great majority of those who call themselves by my name have never learned to walk in this type of obedience. Instead, they have deceived themselves into thinking that if something becomes bitter to them, it must not be of me. This is the lie that we have chosen to believe in order to keep them from suffering. And sadly enough, this is the great lie that so very many have been given over to. So many, in fact, that if you saw it, your heart would simply not be able to endure it or even comprehend it. This is how the great deception has become in these last days. For sadly, the great majority has chosen to deceive themselves into believing only in part that which I have tried to show them, discarding the rest as though it is of no use to them. My pearls have truly been cast before them, and yet they have foolishly trampled them underfoot. I am not speaking of the world here, my son, but of those who call themselves my people. Let it be known that those who have chosen to follow this course will receive a much greater judgment in the coming days than those who have willingly bore their crosses and who have chosen to suffer rather than to only obey me in the parts that they have chosen. Those who have chosen suffering rather than the fleeting pleasures of this world are the ones who have produced their fruit in the great furnace of affliction, and this fruit can never be taken away from them. It has been stored away where moth and rust can never touch it, and where the thief can never take it away. Soon, the wheat, those of mine who have produced the true fruit of the Holy Spirit, shall be safely set aside into the barns of my choosing, the safe places that I have reserved for them, while the tares, those who resemble the wheat and grow in the same field, yet who did not bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, shall be bundled up together to be burned in a very hot oven. And it is in this oven that the last chances will be given to them to produce fruit meet for repentance, the same fruit as the thief upon the cross brought forth in his last hours upon the earth. Although his life was indeed over, yet he was spared an eternal punishment and was granted a place in the kingdom, eternal kingdom and the paradises of God. This shall serve as an example for the many who will be thrown into the great furnace of affliction in the days to come. Selah. Shall I continue?
If you like, Samuel, that's only if you're tired, we'll get somebody else.
That's fine. Do not be surprised or discouraged, my son, when this message is only received in part by some who hear it. There will be those who attempt to lift you up with great flatteries, and those who will outright despise you for speaking as my mouthpiece, saying in their hearts, who is he that he should speak the words of the Lord? There will be those who will truly be blessed by this message, while others will be blessed only in part, seeing that they have chosen to believe only the parts that they desire, while forgetting the rest. Do not let your heart be heavy or troubled by the rejection that you will see, for they are not rejecting you, but they are actually rejecting me and casting aside my words, and I, the Lord, will deal with them accordingly. As for you, my son, go forth into that which I have allotted for you, and be careful to guard your heart from the snare of the pride. For in that which you have proven yourself faithful in, more shall be given. And think not that my hand is not upon you any more, when there are periods of peace and silence. For the Lord knows of your endurance, and he will place you in restful places as he sees fit. The spirit of the strong woman riding up top the devil's beast has been at work in your country for decades now. She is haughty and proud and reserved and cunning, or yet reserved and cunning. The spirit of theater has been upon her, causing her to act out of her part with great deception. Although she smiles widely in her heart while inflicting cruelty, she will not allow her facial features or her body language to disclose this. It takes great spiritual discernment in order to see this, for its veil is very deceptive and very convincing. This is why I sent you to the stable and why I kept you there for many days. What was it that you saw while you were there, my son? I said, Lord, I saw a beautiful woman who lived solely for the purpose of controlling the great beast that she rode upon. This woman possessed exceptional strength and poise, and she was very influential. She received great adulation and many prizes for her mastery of the horses she rode upon. As I watched her, I began to discern many things in my spirit, things that troubled me. And the Lord said to me, what were these things that you saw? I said, Lord, there were many things out of the place of this woman's life as she truly lived to master her control over the horses she owned. Her marriage was one that she was based out of convenience rather than love. And I saw very little affection between her and her husband. Rather than seeing two lovers, I saw a man who was used for the talents he possessed. He was used to build things that and to fix things in this woman's quest for more, more, and yet still more. And although she was married to this man whose name means the rock, she refused to take his name, continuing to go by a name that she was not even given by her own father. This prideful thing caused me to shake my head and to ponder why it was that way. And sadly, Lord, I saw that the union of this couple brought forth a child whom she orphaned due to her dedication toward mastering the control of these great beasts that she sits upon. I was appalled to see that in her quest to master these horses, it was really the beast itself that was controlling her. Shall I continue?
I keep forgetting I'm muted. Would you get somebody else if you like?
Okay. Praise God.
Deanna, you want to read? No? Okay. All right, that's fine. All right, Isaac. We got to unmute.
Yeah, I realized that I got to unmute. Here, let me go back to so minimize. All right, one second here. Oh, it went back to the beginning. That's all right. We know where we're at. Where? There's okay. And the Lord said to me,
mm-hmm.
Okay. And the Lord said to me, wait a minute.
No.
Or as I said, sorry, I clicked out of it and I lost it. Is it right here?
No.
I think you were in the right spot, Isaac.
Was that it? And the Lord said to me, what were these things that you saw? Okay. Yep. Okay, cool. Let's go there. And the Lord said to me, what were these things that you saw? I said, Lord, there were many things out of place in this woman's life, as she truly lived to master her control over the horses she owned. Her marriage was one that was based out of convenience rather than love. And I saw very little affection between her and her husband. Rather than seeing two lovers, I saw a man who was used for the talents he possessed. He was used to build things and to fix things in this woman's quest for more and more and yet still more. Although she was married to this man whose name means the rock, she refused to take his name, continuing to go up by a name that she was not even given by her own father. This prideful thing caused me to shake my head and to ponder why it was this way. And sadly, Lord, I saw that the union of this couple brought forth a child whom she's orphaned due to her dedication toward mastering the control of these great beasts that she sets upon. I was appalled to see that in her quest to master these horses, it was really the beast itself that was controlling her. And the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly in this. What is the name of the child that this woman has brought forth? I said, the boy's name is Travis. And the Lord said to me, what you have seen here is very symbolic and a foreshadow of what is happening in the spirit realm. The boy's name means travesty. The woman goes by the name of her own choosing, although she is married to a man named Rocky, the name that means the rock. This is what has become of many of my people in your country. Pay close attention to me as I explain this. Claiming to be married to and reserved for me, the great rock of their salvation, many of my people have chosen to go their own way, choosing to go by names of their own choosing and bringing forth children in great travesty, children that eventually become orphaned, this being due to their parents being controlled by the beast. These children that they bring forth are an easy prey for the enemy, seeing that they have absolutely no influence from the one that bore them, and in many ways, they're abandoned and must fend for themselves during their lifetime. And the Lord said to me, what is this that you have observed concerning the heart and the influence of this woman who sets upon the beast? I placed you for many months as a fly upon the wall so that you could observe her and learn. Tell me now, what is it that you have seen? I said, Lord, I saw a great disdain that was brought forth toward all men. Although it was veiled with a smile and a type of feminine pose that I was able to see through, what I saw was actually more masculine than it was feminine, and it was concealed by a front that was very beguiling. I saw a great disdain for men that poured forth from this woman, and it affected all of the women around her and within her sphere of influence. And once in the spirit, I actually saw this woman standing with other women of like spirit. She was boasting and saying, the actual purpose of men is to serve us and to kiss our backsides. Lord, I feel so badly saying this, but that's exactly what was shown. And the Lord said, you have seen correctly in this. I said, Lord, this woman was rich and she was married to a man who is also rich. And through her wealth, she was able to control people with cruelty that was also masked behind a beautiful smile. While buying herself many expensive things, she stated that she simply could not afford to pay her servants any more than the meager wages she offered them. And what shocked me the most is that I saw other women coming to her and paying her to teach them how to be just like her. And these women also had a great disdain for men, saying in their hearts, you may clean up after our animals, but you can never be our friend. And it was common to hear them say such things as typical male reasoning and typical male response as their prideful boasting poured out of their lips. At this, I wanted to become violent, but I was restrained from doing so. What, Lord, what does all this mean? And the Lord said to me, my son, I have placed you within the confines of this stable in order to show you the heart of the spirit that is sweeping your nation. It is cruel and cunning, using the wiles of a woman who has patiently waited for her chance to control things. The beast she is riding upon is none other than your adversary, the devil. And although she attempts to control him, it is actually he that is controlling her. This is a spirit, and it is going to run its course in your country, using its influence to bring forth my desired results. And then her end will come before the whole world. I am raising up the spirit of the strong woman in your country, and in her quest for power, she will act very cruelly. Although her feminine wiles will cause her to appear beautiful, she will have a great disdain for men and will treat them as mere servants to fulfill her needs. Although she will claim to be submissive, this spirit is going to affect every facet of your society, including politics, religion, and especially the entertainment industry. I said, Lord, just how will this affect our country and how will it manifest itself? And the Lord answered my request and said, in the entertainment industry, women and men are going to change positions. You will more and more see women becoming the heroines, with the men serving them being made to look foolish. You will more and more see women leading the way as hunting and fishing guides and carpenters and supposed experts in the field that men once dominated. You will see more women in professional sports and women dominating the music industry. Many of the songs that they will bring to great popularity will speak in demeaning ways about men, and this will influence many. And as it presently the case, the most popular music will be about sex and love, as this theme will continue in its ever-seeking quest to deceive people that sexual lust is to be equated with true love. Some of the worst examples that you will ever see will come from television, as beautiful women will be used to seduce many, this being due to their physical attractiveness and their talents in being able to act. They will be like so many beautiful puppets on stage, spitting out lines that have been created by those who are completely given over to doing evil. People called screenwriters and songwriters who abhor the Lord and desire to play out this hatred by flaunting their well-conceived words and scenarios in front of all the people. Increasingly, the good versus evil theme will be artfully projected as women versus men, with men being the evil character, and this will seduce many into siding with this way of thinking and acting when you hear them singing the words, I am woman, hear me roar. Know that the time of the end is drawing very near for your country, and that her judgment will soon come quickly and without mercy. You will see women rising in power and influence within the world of religion, with an ever-increasing abundance of them pastoring churches and teaching my word from the pulpit. It is not written in my word by the Apostle Paul that I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain silent, 1 Timothy 2:12. Was it the Apostle Paul speaking, or was it the Lord? Paul was merely a messenger, a chosen vessel, as it were, to speak my words. There is nothing wrong with a woman sharing with the brethren that which the Lord has given her. But that is a completely different thing than it is for her to stand up in the front of all and teach. In your country, you're going to see more and more women standing before all and teaching from the word. And the people will love to have it so, says the Lord. For it is easy to teach from the well of knowledge, and there shall be many brilliant ones that will stand up and boldly proclaim the word of God, all the while not knowing that they are only a small part of an overall plan that the Lord has in order to bring the spirit of the rebellious woman into its final place of power before the great hammer falls. These women will be greatly influential, speaking of great things that the Lord has done, but this will not be the type of preaching that comes from being led by the Holy Spirit. At best, it will be earthly, speaking to the natural man to come and get saved by Jesus in order to prevent an eternity in hell. And this type of preaching will be very common in the days to come, and there will be those who will come forth in order to receive me into their lives. But there will be those who will go from there and who will make me not only their savior, but more importantly, their Lord and master. And they will see the need to forsake man's systems, and they will gather only unto me and will not attach themselves to the systems of man anymore. These will indeed be the blessed ones, my flock, says the Lord.
All right, let's stop there. This goes on for quite a ways. Has anybody got any questions on any? Is anybody seeing this? Seeing what he's prophesying? How many women preachers do we have on TV? Bunch of them. Now, I don't listen to them, so I don't know what they're preaching. Don't care to. Has anybody heard that one? Is there a song out like that? Women War?
That was in like the 60s, wasn't it? Or 70s, Helen Reddy? I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar? You can look it up. That's the name of it. I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar.
I think there's also another one by Katy Perry. Hear Me Roar.
Katy Perry. Yeah. She did that one too. Was it a remake or Katy Perry?
Yeah, I won't doubt it. I know there was a lot. I Am Woman. I remember that. That's to know. But are there any religious? Are there any religious songs, Christian songs that are lifting up women like that? That y'all know of? I don't know. What I'm going to do, apparently this is a very short version of Word Women in Authority. I'm going to send out the PDF that has the book in it. I don't know where I got this, because what y'all are reading is not in the PDF of the book. So if y'all don't mind, I'll highlight the area that we need to start next time. Is that okay for everybody? Well, it'll have to be because this one doesn't utilize the whole word, doesn't utilize the whole voice. And I'm sorry about that.
I think it's the original article that David had on the site before the book was put into.
Okay.
I think that's probably what it is.
Okay. Well, if you remember the other day when we first started, I was reading out of the book and it was nowhere near what y'all were seeing in that PDF. So then I kind of suspicion that I was probably sent out the wrong one. But I will send that out. Okay, Isaac, I see all your laughing faces there, buddy. Amen. This is the only mistake I made this year so far. I repent, Lord. I've been a couple more. All right. Anybody got any comments on what we've read? Yes, Andrew. Is this another question you're going to ask?
I don't think I'm going to ask any more questions.
Okay.
No, I was just kind of going to remind people about what it says about the blasphemies in chapter 13, where they blaspheme God in verse 6, and they blaspheme his name. You know, that name is written of in 19:13 of Revelation, clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and the blasphemy also of the tabernacle and them that dwell therein. And that's showing you the first beast. But this first beast has to have some sort of religious order too. And then in the 11th verse is usually where they tell you about the second beast, where it says in 13:11 that he has two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. So, you know, that's lamb don't they have big horns. So there's an immaturity there, I think, in this sort of apostate church that's going to be in the future when 13 is coming to pass. So it just goes to show that there could be some similitudes here to what we're seeing. blasphemy, of course, is to speak against. And we know that this second beast is going to agree with the first one. So it's just very interesting. That's, I just wanted to bring that up. So what are some of these blasphemies times three plus the entire tabernacle, which some people think is a real building? Anyway, I just wanted to bring that forward. I'm just trying to think if anyone's going to be listening to this, that you know, Jesus was hanging on the cross and they were mocking him about this temple that he would rebuild in 3 days. And then again, he wasn't talking about a physical temple. So anyway, I just wanted to comment on that.
Thank you. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yes, Claire, go ahead.
I just want to ask for forgiveness if I've caused anyone to be offended or stumble with what I said earlier. I was not trying to do anything else than just share how the Lord has worked in my life and that he's still working. And for those in the covenant, he'll deal with us as he needs to. So I'm the enemy is coming at me and he's telling me that I've condemned.
You had a wonderful testimony of the change and the change that God transpired in your life and reacts to. It was good. And it was done in a way that was tasteful and it was okay. And I got a big kick out of it. So, no, it was good. That's what I was writing here. I was fixing to tell you the same thing, so I ain't going to send it to you now. Okay. All right, anyone else? Well, Lord, we just thank you so much for this wonderful teaching that actually just reiterates what we've already known. And it helps us in areas that we didn't know about. Father, you're such a good and gracious God. And we thank you for the testimonies of these lovely women that have gone through a lot of this. And we just praise you, Father, for the things that you're doing in us. Because we all want to be in obedience to the Word of God. And this is a good way to do it. We praise you, Father, for all the work that you're doing in us and getting rid of all the stuff that we brought with us. And we thank you, Father, for trimming us down to be that Jesus-like person that you want us to be. And we praise you. We glorify you. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anybody else got a prayer that they'd like? All right, before we go out, I need prayer. Yeah, Melissa.
I just wanted to share quickly. I talked to Kurt and Brooke earlier, and the C-section is scheduled for 6 a.m. tomorrow morning that I'm believing they aren't going to have to do. And long story short, they asked me if I could come tomorrow instead. And so I have to talk to Merle, but I don't think I'll have an issue. He's easy going. So just thank you, Lord, for everything going exactly as you desire in your will, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you that Maverick's going to live up to his word. He's going to be the Maverick comes right on out, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for confounding the doctors, because the doctors ain't going to make another nickel off his mama, because Maverick's coming out of that woman, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
His mama.
His mama, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Y'all believe that? Glory to God. Mark, you come on out, boy. You need to come out and say hello to everybody. In Jesus' name. All right. Y'all be blessed. I love y'all, and I'll see y'all next time. God willing.
Michael, could I jump in and just ask if I could stay after the recording?
Yes, you can.
Thank you.